is putting the compliance. They usually just handle our drilling only.
Pretty solid material, and if we did have a leak, as soon as we found out it's a leak, we'd probably set that stuff up.
Okay. If you would, will you come up to the podium and state your name for the record, please?
I'm Tim Green
with Chisholm Energy.
So, anyways, we would,
it would be on the battery. It immediately would be sucked up. You know, we have spills sometimes. It happens in our business. And as soon as the pumper's there every day, you know, and sometimes early on in the well, there's a lot of people there multiple times of the day. So I don't think there'd be a lot of spillage there, but if it did, they've got a monitor, and it shuts their stuff off. Plus, we have monitors on the wells that's going to shut our wells in also at the same time. But I think you asked a while ago where that was, kind of. So
how deep, if the leak would happen, is it possible to reach our aquifer?
Yeah, I'm not an engineer, so I could not answer that question.
One other question.
Yes, sir.
With this, I know companies sell all the time. Your company's probably very reputable, but if somebody bought you, you know, I mean, maybe we're doing a pie in the sky thing, but somebody that bought you that wasn't as reputable and bought that line, you know, I would tend to worry maybe things wouldn't be as stringent as you guys keep it. I mean, how are we assured that companies keep the same level that you guys keep?
So to ease your mind about our company, we build everything to PHMSA DOT 195 standards.
Right.
So essentially this line, because of the size, because of kind of where it's at, it's on the line of whether it's actually DOT regulated or not. But we treat everything as if it is anyway, and we make sure that we go all the way up to the standards of DOT 195 to make sure that our stuff. Now, I can't speak for all the other companies or anybody who might go beyond us or purchase us later on, but I do know that those are our requirements within our company itself.
Is any agreement that we form here today that you sign off on at the time of sale, is that binding to the company that may buy you in the future?
That I can't answer. I would have to say that would probably be within the terms of the contract. Now, I would say that if the stringent requirements you guys have here would apply to that pipeline for the life of that pipeline, unless you remove them yourselves. I wouldn't see how that would actually change with ownership of that pipeline.
Yeah, can we get the representative from Wood to come up and talk about a little bit about the regulation?
Council, good evening. My name is Matthew McGill. I'm here with my project manager, Luke Hill. I guess I'm inquiring as to the ordinances that we'd like to review or we'd like to know about here.
The regulations that govern what we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would... Wood had no serious recommendations for this permit application. I said the only thing we were actually concerned about was the operating pressures that they would be operating at. We have an ordinance that discusses that operating pressures cannot be above 250 PSIs, and they're rated up to 200 or 750 or 740, but we would just like clarification from Oryx that they won't be operating their line at higher than 250. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was discussed at the water board meeting, and Wood was not present for that meeting. So I guess I would just like to call Oryx here and have them confirm that their operating pressures won't be above 250. In terms of that, Oryx submitted, they have spill prevention plans that they submitted with their application packet. They also have workers that are trained in hazardous materials response. So to me, in terms of the questions that you guys are asking now, I saw that, they had all their safety provisions, the kill switches, the valves. Mostly I did not see any issues with it. I just wanted to confirm that they were at 250 PSIs. I think that they're pretty well equipped for a spill.